Welcome to the Round Rock Church of Christ Teaching Podcast. We're a faith community located in the central Austin area that gathers at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. We hope this teaching blesses you as we become spirit-filled and spirit-led Jesus followers for those who do not have a home.
Good morning, church. How are we doing so far? We're doing good. We're doing good. We're awake out there. We're going. Hey, I did want to just echo what Lauren just said. I want to recognize some of y'all do this week in and week out, and we're super thankful that y'all do that. And then I know for some of you that this was a little bit of a stretch today to do something like this. And I just want to say thanks for putting yourself out there and doing some of these things, because it matters, and God does stuff with that. And kind of my ask that I have for the church today is that we match you and you putting yourself out there. I'm kind of hoping that we put ourselves out there as a church. Church, if you have a Bible this morning, I'd encourage you to turn to Luke 9. Luke 9 is where our passage is going to be that Lauren read just a moment ago. We are in a series called Poured Out, which I'm extending for 2 more weeks. This is one of those weeks where we are talking not only about what are these moments that we're conveying as a church that we're saying people are being filled and led by God, but also I want to talk about how do we stir momentum up with one another? How do we take these moments and we ask God to make them into movement for us collectively? And today what I want to talk about is part of that momentum process is putting ourselves out there. So a couple months ago, the staff and I have been regularly working on when we echo that we want to be spirit-filled and spirit-led. We have been working on what that looks like intensely in our lives and practicing that. And I had an unexpected invitation for that a couple months ago. It was a Saturday, and I was out with some family to dinner, and I was very excited about where we were going to dinner. I got the opportunity to go to Scratch Kitchen in Georgetown. I think it's 2020 Scratch Kitchen. I want to get it right. But I was very excited because they have a chicken fried steak there, and I'm all about chicken fried steak. And so I'm laser focused on the task at hand, and that is eating that chicken fried steak. And while I am eating dinner with my family, we're waiting for our food to come up. And when our food arrives, it is not our normal waiter, but it's a waitress that walks up to the table. And she starts to set down the plates of the food. Keep in mind, the chicken fried steak is being set down on the table. And in a moment while she's setting that down, I have an impression on my heart. And when I use the word impression, what I mean by that is I feel a weightiness and a divine direction or focus that the woman who is setting down the plates right now, I'm being invited to ask her, hey, is there something in your life that you would love for us while we're about to pray for the food that you'd like us to pray about? And in a couple of seconds, like I'm having this moment and I'm visualizing what it looks like for me to just offer that and extend that to her. And as she sets the chicken fried steak down in front of me, you know what I do? I go, yeah, I'm not doing that. And so I don't. And she lingers for a moment and we're like, thank you. And then she walks away. My family and I get ready to pray, and this same waitress walks back up to the table, and she goes, excuse me, I'm really sorry if this is out of bounds, but she goes, when I saw your family walk in, I felt some sort of need that I needed to come over, and I feel like I just need to ask for prayer right now, because my life right now is upside down. And I'm really burnt out on religion. But for some reason, when I saw y'all, I felt like I should tell you, I need prayers. And I remember really young people saying that the God of the Bible cares about those who are suffering. And I'm suffering right now. Can you pray about that? but the chicken fried steak, you know, like the table is blown back. My family's like, absolutely, we can pray. You should. Yes, absolutely. Let's pray about that right now. And you may hear that story and you're like, wow, that's a beautiful moment. And it was a beautiful moment. But can I tell you, I walked away from that table not feeling shame, but feeling sadness. Not feeling guilty, but feeling grief. Because there was almost something of an awe divine moment that I passed up. And I think as I laid my head down at night, and I quite haven't shaken this feeling yet, I'm still asking myself the question, what would it have been like for me to open my mouth and tell her that the God she's asking about already sees her? What would have happened? What would have happened if I would have said yes to what the kingdom of God calls the invitations to trust and risk for the Lord? Or we can trade it for some chicken fried steak, which was delicious, by the way. Luke 9, Jesus talks about these invitations. It's actually the origin of these invitations that Jesus says, hey, these invitations will arise for us in the kingdom of God. And if you have your Bible and your turn to it, I want to highlight three things really quickly about the nature of these invitations. And then we want to talk about a moment where someone said yes to an invitation. The first one is this. In Luke 9, Jesus gathers his disciples to scatter his power and authority. Jesus gathers his disciples to scatter his power and authority. Up to Luke 9, if you were reading through this entire story, which is how Luke's gospel is designed, to do it in one full setting, you would see that up to this chapter and this point, Luke is recruiting. He's bringing in disciples, and the disciples are learning and they are observing Jesus. And throughout Luke, Luke is doing multiple themes, but one of the themes that he's doing is he's saying the one they're following is one who has power and he has authority. Maybe this would be helpful to write notes next to it. Here's a couple examples. Bless you to the person in the back. Luke 9, verse 1, 2, when Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them what? Power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. That's wild. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. Before chapter 9, you're seeing evidence of Jesus walking in power and authority. You may want to write this next to Luke 9. Luke 4, verse 36. All the people were amazed and said to each other, what words these are? With what? Authority and power he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out. Another example, Luke 5. One day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Another example, Luke 6, verse 19. And the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. And then later, someone does touch him. Luke 8, verses 46. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Jesus is dripping with power and authority. And you say, what is that power and authority for? Jesus has the power and authority to cast out, to heal, and to speak and talk of the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, he casts out darkness and disease. In the name of Jesus, he heals the sick. And in his name, he shares God's kingdom and says, God is up to something through me. Then he looks at his disciples. This is Luke 9, and this is the hard turn. This is the turn for his disciples. Luke 9, he turns to them and says, do you see what I'm doing? Now you go and do what I am doing. Which is a powerful word. Starting in Luke 9, Jesus is declaring that my mission, when I die, will not become extinct, but it will actually continue through you. And this is why this is important, that right now you are not at brunch or you're not at your cousin's soccer game right now. Because when the church gathers in the name of Jesus, when we proclaim and name the power of Jesus, God sends us out, scatters us out with his power and his authority. Is someone out there this morning? Say amen. We gather this morning. We worship. Not to entertain. Not to walk down memory lane. But to be trained in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. That's why we gather this morning. When you sing the name that is above all names, and you release the power of his name. When you took that bread and that juice and you broke it, we commune with Jesus uniquely in that moment. When you break that bread and you consume it, you are asking to become the very thing you're receiving. When you take the Eucharist, the communion, you're saying, God, can you help me become the sacrifice that you were? Help me to be that sacrifice in my work, in the people I'm in relationship with, in my marriage, in the stranger that I meet out in the parking lot. Help me become that. And then when we open the words of Scripture, the early Christians would say, we stand underneath the Scriptures, meaning that the Scriptures are our authority, which means they're trustworthy. When we open the Scriptures, we're releasing the power and authority of God. That when we read the Scriptures, they teach us, they rebuke us, they correct us, and they what? They train us. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. When the church gathers, we are operating and practicing the power and authority of Jesus. There are times where people come to our church, and I want to just name this. Any reason anyone comes to our church, awesome. Love it. And sometimes what I hear when we ask, like, hey, why'd you come to Round Rock? Usually I'll hear something to the effect of, like, well, the times are great. Or the location is great. Or it reminds me of maybe my history in the past. And all those things are great reasons. But then the other week, someone actually said out loud, and I overheard them. Someone said, what brought you to Round Rock? And they said, I heard that the Spirit of God was stirring in this church, and I wanted some of that. I dream, I pray, I ask. I walked around my neighborhood yesterday and prayed, Lord, can we have more of that? That, could you imagine people coming to Round Rock Church of Christ because they're like, hey, I want to be trained in the power and the authority of Jesus. Whew. Second thing I want us to hear. In Luke 9, one of the things that is revealed is to walk in power and authority is going to take deeper dependence on God. Verse 3. So before he sent them, he told them this. Take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. No extra shirt? No extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. When I was growing up in the church, we had this process where anytime our youth group was going on a youth retreat, our youth minister would stand in front of the bus, and as we were walking to get on the bus, he would say, let me see all the things you're bringing, and you would show them one by one, and our youth minister would be like, you don't need that, you don't need that, you don't need that. Why do you even have this? You don't need that. Jesus kind of does a little bit of the same to the disciples. He's not saying, hey, I need you to go out and do more. He's actually saying, I need you to take less. That description of no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt, doesn't that feel a little peculiar to you? See, one of the things that's helpful for us to know is that for someone who's hearing this passage closer would actually recognize that this list is intentional. It's not like Luke's being like, maybe it was this and this, maybe not that. No, no, no. When you were particularly a Jewish man back in this day, there were instructions before you could enter the temple. And one of those instructions was not to bring your staff or your bag or bread or money or extra shirt into deeper places of the temple. And one of the reasons for that was that it did not need to appear like you were doing something for business when you came to the house of the Lord. I said this the other week, and the invitation is here again. This is an invitation to say, this is not business as usual. Casting out darkness, healing, and speaking about the kingdom of God are not things of usual business. You need power for those things. You try to do them on your own, and they fall flat. And Jesus says, well, let's do it. Let's orient our lives in such a way that you will have to depend on our power. It reminds me how Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not matter of talk, but of power. It's not going to just take belief. It's going to take trust. It's partnership. You ever thought about that? How God desires partnership for you and I? Like that a lot of times we try to think of like faith as like, I need to subscribe to a list of beliefs, which I'm not saying is a bad place to start, but that there's an invitation to actually trust with Him. And trust at some point means risk. Risking what is comfortable, risking what is convenient, risking what feels secure. Everyone's got a bag and a staff. It may just not actually be a bag and a staff. The third is this, is that Jesus sends you out with power and authority, not to test you, but to partner with you. I want you to skip down with me to verse 10. I want you to see the reaction. So when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. And then he took with them, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethesda. Now, Bethsaida, on top of that, in Luke 10, Jesus is going to do the same thing, not with the 12 disciples, but he's going to do it with 72. And here's how that story comes out. The 72 returned, and they returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. In other words, when they go out and they trust and depend on Jesus being the power and authority to do the work of God, they come back to Jesus and they're like, hey, you really meant what you said. The 72 come back and they are filled with joy for what they did. You know, I don't know what some of your background stories may be. When I grew up in the church, and maybe I made this message up myself, like it, maybe no one said this outright to me, but sometimes I felt like the message was, you need to trust God, you need to risk for God, that way you prove to God and the world that you believe this thing. And I remember sitting there being like, okay, all right, I'll do it. That sounds like a lot of pressure, but I'll do it. I'll do it. So I just go to school kind of trembling a little bit, being like, all right, God, I'm going to do this. At least for Jesus and his early followers, that wasn't the posture. You need to prove or justify your faith, or you need to show your loyalty to God to do this. Here's how Acts 2 verse 42 through 44 describes them. So they devoted themselves. This is after the resurrection of Jesus, once he's ascended. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Here's the big one right here, this next verse. Awe. 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 Awe came up for everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. What if Jesus wants you to trust him more deeply because he wants to bring awe and wonder into your life? New York Times posted this new research that came out about human emotions, and one of the things you should probably be updated on is that they're adding one more emotion to the critical list of emotions. And New York Times wrote this, it's from Dr. Keltner, I don't remember his first name, but this is one of the things he wrote. This is the New York Times. It's the New York Times. Awe wasn't one of the six basic emotions, anger, surprise, disgust, enjoyment, fear, and sadness, identified back in 1972. New research shows, I love when they use technical language, new research shows that awe is its own thing. Thank you. Thank you for that. Awe activates the, nerves, clusters of neurons in the spinal cord that regulate various bodily functions. Now catch this. Slows your heart rate, relieves digestion, deepens breathing, but even bigger, it has psychological benefits. Many of us have Many of us have crucial voices in our head telling us we're not smart or beautiful or rich enough. Awe seems to quiet this negative self-talk by deactivating the default mode network, the part of the cortex involved in how we perceive ourselves. Can I make a jump for the language the New York Times is trying to say, but they don't have this to go with it? Here's what they're trying to say. You are your healthiest you when you are walking and you are trusting. You are walking in God's design for you when you are trusting and risking for God. It brings awe into your life. So let me pause. Let's talk about a moment where this is kind of happening in the life of our church. Can I invite two friends up with me this morning? One of them is RV. I'm going to ask him to introduce himself in a second. Another one is Matt Delano. I always think of a cookie every time I say your last name. You do. You like that back corner. So that is the pay for it. Oh, hey guys, thanks for doing this. Would you mind, maybe Matt, you go first, but would you just intro how long you've been here? Would you also intro how long you've been here and just to the church?
Yeah, so I've been here for 5 years now, and have been grateful to be a part of all the different things going on in this church. And I just want to say with what Zane's saying this morning, there is momentum and hope and power coming, and I'm just excited about that.
Yeah.
My name is RV Reed, and I'm a new member here. I've been here about a year and a half now. I've got a. Okay. Let's see. I was in the military about heck, I can't even remember. 30 years, almost 30 years in the military. And I went to Desert Storm, Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and I did my thing. And while I was there, I have a head injury, and I don't have any short-term memory It's gone. My memory lasts about 3 to 6 days, 7 days, and it's hard to work with. Mm-hmm. Yep. And let's see, I haven't even told my blood family. I'm telling you because you are my family now. I've only been here about a year, and this is my family. This is my home because of the way the people brought us in and the way they treat you. They show you love and that warmth's there. And I don't know where I was going with this. Are they recording?
They are. Okay. They are. They cannot if they need to.
You want to tell me I haven't told my blood family about my problem. They know I've got a head injury, but they don't know how bad it is. And today I'm telling them they're going to watch this. I try to bring them to church. I hadn't got them to come yet. And that's the hardest people to bring to church mm-hmm. when they're non-believers. One last week asked for a Bible, so I'm working on them.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll show up. I sit back in the back and hide out over here. I try to blend in because I feel embarrassed. When you greet me at the door and welcome me in, hey, Harvey, how's it going? And I can't reciprocate because I can't remember you. I kind of sort of remember you, but I don't. So I fake it and I smile and everything. And I don't want to be lying to you. So I'm telling you now, and I'm telling my family, this is what I'm dealing with. I apologize now. I'm sorry. I can't remember your names.
That's okay.
Unless I can get it into long-term memory.
That's okay.
But I haven't figured out how to do that for everything.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, thank you for letting
us know. I don't know.
Yep.
Sorry.
No, thank you. Yep, and we can hold that, right, church? We can hold that. Matt, can you speak a little bit about one of the first interactions you had with RV?
Yeah, so RV, he actually told me he does remember this, which it was a beautiful moment, I think, for both of us. Last March, for those of you that don't know, RV lost his wife. And he happened to be coming to a church service for the first time here at Round Rock the week his wife had passed. And I happened to be preaching, and the sermon series we were in was called Turn. And we were talking about Jonah and a life that's kind of swallowed up by grief and uncertainty. And I felt like there was someone I was writing this sermon for. And I saw RV that Sunday, and this is normal for me, but I went to go meet him, and RV immediately shared with me that this sermon was for him. And it just reminded me just of what Zane even talked about this morning, that like, we need each other to know what God is up to. We need each other to experience the ways that the Spirit loves us and invites us in. And so ever since that time I met RV, not only did he share that with me and we experienced that together, ever since then he has been a lifeline for our church mm-hmm. in caring for others, especially through Alpha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. RV, do you mind sharing, like, after that moment of coming to Round Rock, what has it looked like for you to get deeper into our church? What do you help with? Yeah, no, it's all good. What has it looked like for you to become a part of Round Rock?
I'm going to go back to the start here. I don't have a clue what's going to come on here. My daughter used to live across the street in the apartments over here, and we looked out and saw the church doing Easter, and they were having a good time and helping the community, and hey, this is a good church. And then I might not have this in the right order. This church does something every year, the giveaway.
Sharefest.
Okay. And Sharefest, believe it or not, is something just like Alpha. I know that's hard to believe, but I've had some of the people in Alpha the first time and the second group that Sharefest is what brought them in. It's just a way to touch people and for this church to show love and warmth and bring them home. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, why is Alpha meant so much to you? Why do you serve
Alpha?
Yeah.
Since I joined here, I need to, everybody has to be part of the body. We're the feet, the legs, the voice of Jesus. And you've got to help other people to come home. Mm-hmm. I'm losing it. Alpha is a new program, the second time around, and it's just a great program where, like when you first go into your grandma's house, what does she do? Oh, do you want something to drink? Do you? I'm going to feed you. I've got some dessert and some food. And you hear the Alpha people. Hey, the food is great, and the warmth, everybody's talking around the table, and we're getting to eat and socialize, and they're digging it. And Alpha is the way to do this. And if we're going to bring them home, we got to show the love and the genuine, talking from the heart. You got to do it from heart.
Yeah,
And I wanted to be a part of that. I tried being part of the prayer team upstairs, which is another great program where when you check in on the QR code at the very bottom or something, you can put if you need somebody to pray for you, right? Okay. This church actually does it.
Yeah.
Some churches I've been to, it's okay, we'll pray for you. And okay, and you don't know if they did or not, but this church will. They got a team that does it, and everybody contributes, and they do what they say they're going to do. That's another great thing about this church that makes it home.
Yeah.
They do what they say they're going to do.
Yeah. Mm. That's good. Thank you for saying
that.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay.
Matt, do you mind talking about, you said we need each other to be able to know what God is doing. Do you mind kind of talking about how that's been a part of your story here?
Yeah. So I think one of the things, if you know me, one of the things that I pride myself in is I just want to be with people and for people and care for people. And yet I have realized over this last season, I need God more in that equation and how seeking out intimacy with God actually ends up, I mean, I've said this before, but rearranging everything else, right? Like knowing God allows me to be better for others. And so that's one of the things, I think on rare occasions, like I experienced this with RB, like I would hear God say something, I would feel prompted by God, impressed upon, and I would maybe do it every once in a while. And I've kind of gotten to the point where I don't want to do that anymore. I want to give God all of the things, knowing that he will give back power and authority for me to care for others. And then they will care for me in turn. And that's how it works. And so we had this moment in particular this last February, and RB got to be a part of it. It was called the Alpha Encounter Night. And it was a moment where we could come together and both thank God for what God had been doing, but also ask for more. Of God's Spirit to work in Alpha and in our church. And there was a moment there where that kind of clicked for me. This reality that like risking and trying is not just a part of faith, but it is what God is inviting me to do. And so what that means is oftentimes, right, like God will tell me or invite me in a very specific way. It feels like to pray for someone or to consider something. And what it just means is like, I trust that enough that I risk foolishness for it. And try hard enough to show that like I'm doing it fully out of love. And so that night I got to do that and to lean in hard, and I haven't really looked back. But I also got to experience people giving words of love and encouragement over me as well. Mm-hmm. And I think RV got to experience that too, and it's changed things for you, right? Could you share just a little bit about that?
What was it? Alpha
Encounter what? Night.
Alpha Encounter Night. I didn't know what to expect. It was in the main room here, but all these chairs are gone, and they blacked out the windows, and it's all dark, and they're playing the music, which is really great. He never gets the thanks in this team. Come on, they do a great job. But it helped. Anyway, I came to this, and I was going, what am I doing here? Why am I here? Why? I didn't understand what's going on or what. Very skeptical. Didn't want to be there. I'm pretty calm now, but I'm squirming in my seat. Finally found a place to sit, and my mind's going a mile a minute, and I don't want to be here. And this is supposed to be home, so what's going on? And I had to shut it all off, calm down, relax. But I didn't do that until in the room other people are praying at the same time. And people are praying. I'm looking. Yep, there you go. Thanks. Saved. Jody and Eric, I'm pretty sure, came up and prayed for me or with me. And I felt the love that helped calm me down and shut off all the noise that was going on in my mind, because that's distraction. And the music helped, and Jody and them came. Matt came, I'm pretty sure, right? Okay, good, okay. I don't want to lie anyway, because you're not supposed to lie. And he helped me calm down, and okay, I'm settling down, and I still don't know what to expect, and I feel this warmth and embracing you. It's like a blanket covering you. Mm-hmm. I've never felt anything like it, and the words don't explain it. It's hard to explain. Okay, well, I already said that. He was hugging me, but it was like Jesus was right there holding my hand. And I've never experienced that. I've been to a lot of churches. I've never experienced that. And since that night, I'm starving. That's the word I used. I think I gave it to Jody or somebody. And I'm starving. I want to know more about this. I can't believe I went to church all these years and read the Bible and I did everything right, and I'm still not getting it. And most churches I've been to, not this one, this one's going in the right direction. Most churches don't talk about the Holy Spirit. They brush over it or sidestep it or whatever. This one is going to go in the right direction, and that's what we need. Why only have two-thirds of God when you can have all of God?
Oh.
I mean, right? It doesn't make any sense. And ever since that night, I need more. So fill us up. Yeah. Fill them up. Come on.
Thank you. Guys, thanks for sharing this. And RV, we're really glad you're here. Harvey did not want to come up and do this, by the way. I don't know if you got that feeling. Can I have just two or three more minutes? Pinky promise? Okay. All right, real fast. It's youth-led worship. Can I real fast? Yeah. No. Okay. All right. Real fast. You want to cultivate a life of this, more of this. Here's kind of three things that I would leave us with. One is make room. Notice the invitation of Jesus is not do more, add more to your calendar. Jesus is actually saying take out more. I want you to think of the image or the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in Luke 4 in particular. Spirit comes down as a dove. The Holy Spirit is gentle. The Holy Spirit is calm. So when our hearts are highly irritable, we are not a safe landing spot for the impressions of the Holy Spirit. So one thing is, let's clear out and make some room in our life. If we walk around and we say the phrase, God is the most important thing in my life, anyone who is the most important person in your life deserves face-to-face time without the phone. Number two, ask. What would it be like this week for you to walk around? And I do this all the time where it's like, I know what I need to get done. What if instead every room you walked into, you basically just asked under your breath, Jesus, what would you like to do here? And then we just wait. Now, sometimes the Spirit doesn't need to impress things on us because Jesus already told us in his word what it is. So if you see a moment of sacrifice or charity or seeing someone who's unseen, the invitation's just right there. And as we grow, I also just want to note that when you are faithful to the small invitations, the Lord tends to keep pouring larger invitations, right? You have been faithful with little, now I will give you much more. That's Matthew 25, verse 23. That when we say yes to God and we keep saying yes to God, those invitations keep coming. And sometimes they're invitations like praying for a lady at Scratch Kitchen when you just want to eat your chicken fried steak. I mean, that is what it is. The church fathers and mothers would say, faithfulness to one grace attracts others. So just ask and say yes. The third and the final is what Matt said, risk foolishness. It needs to be noted that Jesus does not play around with prosperity gospel. Jesus is very clear that if you go out and you trust him, there will be rejection. There will be results that are not good. There will be times that you walk away and you're like, why did I do that? Was that worth my time? That is part of the deal. But if you keep moving into it, you will discover what your staff, your bag, your bread, and your money are in your life. Many of us, it's not staff, bag, bread, money, anything like that. It's actually more translation to what your family thinks about you, social approval, extra income that you could use for yourself or on trips, reputation among other people, or just talking to people that you don't know. The Christian life, and this is big for us, the Christian life isn't about just holding up some principles, but it's also about deep intimacy with the person of God. Trust with God is willing to risk foolishness in public for the kingdom of God. This is the life of Noah building an ark when there's no rain around. This is the life of Moses, standing with nothing but a staff at the Red Sea and saying it will part. This is the life of Rahab, welcoming and hiding the very men who could hurt her city. This is the life of Mary, having no cover-up story other than just saying, God is the Father. This is the life of Joanna in Luke 8, who uses her husband's funds to actually fund Jesus, because she believes he's Lord. This is the life of Peter, who fresh off betraying Jesus, steps up and says, I have something to say. This is the life of Paul when he looks his colleagues and academics in the eyes and says, I encountered the risen Lord, and I need to tell you about this light. This is the call of Jesus. He gathers us to scatter us. So, Lord, I pray, can you help us to be people who see your power and your authority? Holy Spirit, I ask, can you clear us out as vessels for your power and authority to fill us and lead us? And God, I pray in the room right now, if you're doing something awesome in someone's life, would you help them in a moment to just go back and name it to someone to receive prayer? And Lord, for someone who's in the room this morning that wants more, but they're not sure where to go next, I pray, can you help them to be able to go back and receive prayer? Lord, teach us how to respond in here so we can respond to you out there in the face of darkness and evil. Can we bring your kingdom and to declare not one more inch? In the name of Jesus, may heaven come to earth. Amen.